So this is the time in the service where if people have got any particular items of good news, this is a good moment to share it. While you're thinking about that, I just wanted to introduce Ian Moore to us. I said I would just say a few words about him. It's a great joy to have him back. He preached with us about a year ago, May last year. I won't try and summarize all the things that Ian has done throughout his long ministry, but he's definitely worthwhile talking to after the service if you can catch him. He was the minister at the Elim Church in Ingatestone for some 30-odd years, and more recently has been working at Billericay Baptist in Perry Street. One thing I would pick out is that he regularly goes to Chelmsford Prison as a visitor, I hasten to add. More seriously, and he regularly goes there, leads a service, ministering to prisoners. So going into a difficult place with people who have all sorts of problems, as you can well imagine. So, Ian, really looking forward to hearing what you have to say later.
I had an idea this is going to be a good morning. And one was the Holy Spirit, the other was I had nightmares all night last night. I was so thankful to wake up. And then on my way down Stock Lane, I was actually forced off the road by a vehicle coming in the other direction. So I thought, hey-ho, this is good. But I want to talk about the normal Christian life. I've realized that I haven't got long, so I better talk quickly, yeah? In the Congo, where I go quite often, but the preachers can preach long, yeah? They preach as a preach, yeah? Don't worry. But they come with a little note, and the little note says 10 minutes left. Someone sits at the front, and then someone else comes with another note, 5 minutes, and then, well, I don't think they take any notice, but yeah. I want to talk about the will of God and about the normal Christian life. And the normal Christian life is for you and me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not something that, I don't do the Holy Spirit. I don't know how any Christian can actually say, I don't do the Holy Spirit. Because you were saved to contain, to bear the Holy Spirit. You were saved to be filled with the Spirit of God. And without the Spirit of God, then you have no real power. And the presence that you seek is the presence God gives you within. He says the kingdom of God is in you. Yeah. And that we should all know that and experience that moment by moment by moment. And there was an occasion when Paul went to Ephesus, and while Apollos was in, this is in Acts 19, chapter 1, and Paul was looking for one thing, and while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples. It was a good thing to find, and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He could have asked them a myriad of questions. But the great apostle is looking for something. And he's looking for them to have received and being filled with the Holy Spirit. They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, well, what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him. That is in Jesus. But what Paul's about to say, he's saying, that's not enough. That is not enough to stay just being cleansed, just repenting and repenting and repenting and repenting. On hearing that, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. A lot later on, Paul's writing to this Ephesian church. No doubt these people, they were still in the church. And this letter to the Ephesians is an amazing letter. There's a lot of Christology there. It talks about Christ at the beginning. It lifts up Christ. And it then goes on and talks about how we should live, our husbands should live, our wives should live, our kids should live, our parents should live, our master should live, our servants should live. It goes on to talk about this great battle that we're in, the spiritual battle, and the armor of God. But nestled in the middle of this book is the key to living the book. In Ephesians 5, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. And find out what pleases God. What does please? That's a good thing for any Christian to know what pleases God. Because certainly we want to please our master. We want to live for his pleasure. And it has had nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness yet, but rather expose them. But goes on in verse 15 to say, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Yes. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Ah, we're getting to the nub of it now. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. That is what God gets pleasure from. He cleanses you and me that we might be Spirit-filled. So it's not to think, well, I'm not Pentecostal. I don't go to a Pentecostal church. Every Christian born of God was born that you might contain the Holy Spirit. If the body of Christ does not contain Christ, then how can it be the body of Christ? Is it a body of churchgoers? Is it a body of law keepers? No, it's the very body of Jesus. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. One of the Beatitudes. Wonderful. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, who want to live this sort of life. For they shall be filled. The blessing is the filling. If you want God to bless you, the way he blesses you, he breathes upon you his Holy Spirit. So the question maybe I ask myself and I humbly ask you is, do you want what God wants? Do you want for your life what God wants for your life? You hunger and thirst. We can hunger and thirst over lots and lots of things, but do we hunger and thirst over righteousness? In the Acts of the Apostles, we find that a people in the early chapters who were desperate for Jesus. They walked and talked with him. He was all they had and wanted. He started with Mary Magdalene at the tomb. She says, I'm not budging. I'm going nowhere unless I know where Jesus is. I'm here. I've got nowhere to go. no good sending you away. They'd walked and talked with him. Imagine after Jesus had left, after the ascension, there was no sacrifices for them, animal sacrifices. There was no synagogue worship. There was little access to Old Testament scrolls. They were put out of the synagogue. Now they're persecuted and hated. They just loved Jesus, and he was not there. And then 10 days after the resurrection, they're found all together in one place, praying. And suddenly the Spirit came. And they must have looked at each other. No one dared speak. They heard a sound from heaven in Acts 2. Something was happening. It came from heaven to earth. Our prayers are from earth to heaven. You need something from heaven to earth. They had waited for the gift that had been promised, for the Father to send the promise. And suddenly, the Spirit came. They heard a sound from heaven, and the house was filled with the presence of God. A tongue of fire divided and rested on each. Everyone had a tongue of fire. Of the 120 or so, there was no one without a tongue, a personal tongue. And it didn't zap them, it rested upon them. Jesus promised that the Comforter would abide with them. That another paraclete would come. And he wouldn't just be with them, he would be in them, the promise of Jesus. And all the individuals there together were filled with the Holy Spirit. Take a moment to think that the promise of the Father had come. 10 long days. They'd waited. No constitution, no program. Just desperate for God to turn up. Have we that desire? Are we desperate? Are we like Moses in Exodus 33 and say, unless you come with me, I can't go. I can't do this, what you're asking me, without you. Unless your presence goes with me. Do you know his presence makes all the difference? There's a tragic, tragic part in 2 Samuel, where God's glory had left the household of Eli and Israel. Ichabod means his spirit had gone. They were people no longer with the presence of God. How shameful is that? And this coming of the Holy Spirit, of them all being together in one place. And this great miracle from great fear. We sang a song, didn't we, earlier about our fear going, we lay it down. They went from great fear to great faith. From people were hiding, all of a sudden, Peter stands up. In the open temple courts and begins to preach to the very ones that were party to the crucifixion of Jesus. And the 11 stand with him. And he raises his voice, filled with the Spirit of God. Later on, Peter and John going to the temple to 2 months earlier that they were apart. Peter was asking Jesus about, what about the one that's following behind? You're asking me whether I love you. What about him? Why aren't you giving him the third degree? You're giving me the third degree. Peter and John were not walking together when Jesus had ascended. But now we see them going in Acts 3, going to the temple. Peter and John were going there together. And they see a man who's a cripple. And he asks for alms, he asks for help. And Peter says, look at us. Didn't say, look at me. Something has happened. Something miraculous has happened in this man. He says, silver and gold do I not have, but what I have I give to you. What had they got? They'd got the Spirit of God within them. This is the church of Jesus Christ, filled with the Spirit of God. This is, in the name of Christ Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he did, because they gave what they had received. Hallelujah. Believe it or not, this is just not to be admired. This is an observation of the normal Christian life. You and me. Not about being apostles, it's about being residents of Stock or wherever you come from. Ramsden Heath, further afield, Ingatestone. God needs this people. A little later on, Peter and John were arrested because of this miracle. And they were told to shut up, stop talking about Jesus. Would you do that? And they said, we can't. I can't stop talking about Jesus, they say. Do I obey God or do I obey man? And they went to a prayer meeting where they were praying, and they were, you know, they weren't full of faith because they didn't expect Peter to come knocking on the door saying, can I join the prayer meeting? Because they're praying that they'd get released from the grip of the Sanhedrin. And Peter joins them and shares the good news. And it said they raised their voice with one accord. And in that prayer meeting, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Every man, Jack of them, and woman. In Ephesus, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. In Cornelius's house, a little while later, when Peter goes just to preach to the Gentiles, and he's preaching a good gospel message, and all of a sudden, before there's any appeal or he's got to it, the end, the Holy Spirit has fallen upon them. And every one of them was filled with the Holy Spirit. Not some. He's gobsmacked, is Peter. What can I do but baptize them? They're Gentiles. They're not Jews. They're not. This isn't supposed to happen. In Acts 1, and I'm only halfway through, so what's going to happen? I'll have to stop because I promised I would. But maybe I'll come a third time. I didn't do this, so I'd come again. But it says, do not leave Jerusalem, Jesus says to his disciples, almost his last words, but wait for the gift my Father promised. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. For them, it was no longer business as usual. In the beginning, God. Now, God. Today, God. The Holy Spirit was never to be studied. He was to be invited in. And those just simple words, come, Holy Spirit. Come. Come. Come into a place that's prepared, cleansed, made ready. Because for you or me to live the life that God calls us to live, we can't do it without Him. You know, Elijah called the fire down from heaven onto the altar before the prophets of Baal and Ashtoreth. There was a sacrifice on the altar. There can be no altar without a sacrifice. What is on this altar now is you and me. In Romans 12:1. Therefore, in view of God's mercy, we should offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Shall we pray? Father, Father, we need you. And in a wonderful way, you need us. You need us to be the people you've called us to be. You need your church to rise up, Father. I thank you that this church has been thinking and praying about the presence of God. Well, this is the presence of God, your Holy Spirit. Not like the scarlet pimpernel, we seek him here, we seek him there. For he'll come. You'll come when we stand together and we bring our brokenness on the altar of God. And Father, we say, Holy Spirit, come. Forgive us, Lord, when we've tried to do what you've asked us to do without your strength. As though you're just giving us a rule book and you set us up to fail. We thank you, Father, for this most precious gift. And we pray, Father, each one of us at this very moment will experience a tongue of fire from heaven to earth for your glory. Amen.